Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson for Voice of the Last Days Ministry, and this is your wake-up call. The Lord is doing a great thing in the earth. Well, does it seem like no matter what you do, you keep losing your stuff, things keep getting taken away, you seem to get a little bit of ahead here, and then you go back further than where you were? Forward two steps, back three, in terms of just the things you're trying to do in your life. What immediately comes to mind with most people, of course, is finances. But it isn't just in the area of finances, it's in all the things. We suffer loss, and I think that it's time that we take authority over that, and by the power of the Holy Ghost that is in us, that we get our stuff back. First of all, a scripture that I've brought to you before in Haggai, in 1, let's begin with verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. In other words, your thirst is not satiated. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Doesn't it seem like it's that way? You get a little bit ahead here, and then suddenly there's some huge repair that you've got to make. And let's read on. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. In other words, the Lord is saying, you're suffering loss because you haven't put me first. In this particular time, it was literally that the house of the Lord had not been rebuilt from where it had been ruined by the enemies. And yet they had come and they had built their houses. And a little bit before this, he says, you've got these paneled houses, but you know, you don't consider that I don't have a house. And there it was a literal situation, but it indicated a spiritual condition of just not considering the Lord. Basically, if there's time left, you know, think about the Lord, or if there's money left, do something for the Lord. You know what I'm saying. And our lives are hectic, and it's easy for things to pile up and for us to forget the Lord. But when we do, then the little that we have gets taken away. Well, let's look further into this. If you look in Joel 2:25, this is a scripture that you may have heard a lot. It says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. I read this to you a while back. But those different locusts that are mentioned there, swarming, crawling, consuming, chewing, the actual meaning of the four Hebrew words, as far as what I can find, is not really known in terms of exactly what these locusts were, what type of locusts these were, and how they differed from each other. But I think the point that we can glean from this is devouring comes into our life from a lot of different sources. Sometimes it's right out there where we see it, you know, boom, something happens and our stuff is taken away, or we suffer loss in terms of our plans, whatever. Other times it's something insidious that we haven't seen, or maybe even we've allowed in our lives, and eventually it comes to fruition. In other words, you don't see something when it's just a seed. You know, I know a house that I remember seeing when this little seedling started coming up right next to the house. Well, first of all, they didn't notice it when the seed of the tree fell into the ground, and they didn't think much of it when it was a little seedling, you know, that you could walk by and grab up with one hand, or even when it got up a few feet high. You know, what's the big deal? That should be easy to deal with. But the people just kind of didn't seem to notice it and let it remain. And now there's this very large tree right up against the side of their house. And now they're going to have to go to some effort and some expense. And the roots are probably, if not in the foundation, threatening the foundation. It came insidiously. It started small. They didn't even notice. And then it seems like all of a sudden, then it's a huge tree. But we know it wasn't all of a sudden. It's just all of a sudden we recognize it. And that's the way it is with things in our lives, that we allow, or doors that we open to things that we don't seem to notice it at all. And then it's like, what happened? Well, it didn't happen all of a sudden. You just now notice it once it gets too big to ignore anymore. And then other things will come in our lives and devour, in that it goes to the roots. You don't notice something that's working on the roots of plants until all of a sudden the plant wilts. All of a sudden, no. All of a sudden you see the results, but something was chewing at the roots. And I think all of these things are indicating different types of devouring that comes into our life. Well, the remedy for all of this is the Lord, particularly in the things that we have allowed and that we're not taking notice concerning. We have got to, you know, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We've got to be more watchful in our lives. And then when we do see these things, deal with them early on. But, you know, even if it is a big tree right by your house, the Lord can help you to overcome that through His power as you submit to Him and ask Him to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Whatever it is in your life that's been taking away your joy, your money, you know, fill in the blank, the Lord has the answer for that. As you submit to Him, He will rebuke that devourer for your sake. Now, it's interesting. We often hear this scripture in Joel 2:25, but it was actually the answer to something that said in Joel 1:4. Listen to this predicament. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. And the swarming locust left, the chewing locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. It just is saying that whatever it seems that has been left after this enemy or devourer has come through, then there's another enemy and devourer to come along right after it. You see, there's no end to it until your life is submitted to the Lord and He makes an end to it once for all. Now, does that mean that these devouring sources will never come up against you? No. But now you know what to do with it. Now you know not to wait and let it develop into something that just takes everything. But the Lord has the answer as we submit to Him. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:13. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, here comes the part that you've heard often, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Do you need your land healed? Do you need restoration of what the devourer has taken? You've got to humble yourself before the Lord and pray. Humbling ourselves just seems to be so difficult. Humbling is total submission. It's saying, God, I need an answer, and I'll lay it before you, whatever it takes. Look at Isaiah 17:13. The nations will rush and roar like the rushing and roaring of many waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far off and will be chased like chaff on the mountains before the wind, like rolling thistle down or whirling dust of the stubble before the storm. At eventime, behold, terror, and before the morning, they, the terrorizing Assyrians, are not. This is the portion of those who strip us, the Jews, of what belongs to us, and the lot of those who rob us. Now, this is in the Amplified. At this point in time, the devourer was the Assyrians. And the Amplified puts it, the terrorizing Assyrians. Well, we hear a lot about terror lately, don't we? Well, we don't have to be afraid of those that want to terrorize, because look at what happened in Isaiah 37:36, the fulfillment of this. And the angel of the Lord went forth and slew 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the living arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead bodies. And, you know, this is the incident where Sennacherib had sent his Rabshakeh and was just literally terrorizing the Jewish people. And in one night, we're not talking about the Lord helped an army. There are many times where the Lord did work through an army, and He gave the victory through, and we talked about that a while back, the victory through this one, the victory through that one. In this case, the angel of the Lord Himself slew 185,000 people in the camp of the Assyrians. You don't think God can come on the scene and do what you need done? Yes, He can. But you have to call upon him with a humble heart and a desire for him. And he will act on your behalf and swiftly. I totally believe that. I was saying to my son this morning, it's come the time we've got to speak the word over those things, the seeds that we've planted, that our harvest will come, or the things that have been taken or held back, that they will be released. We have to release our faith and speak the word and demand, as I've said to you before, it isn't demanding of God, it's demanding of the circumstance that the word of God be manifest in it. And that we no longer just wait for the other shoe to drop. What are we going to lose now? But that God will restore and that God will sustain and that he will keep. Look at Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then the scripture you've heard a lot, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now listen to verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now that's a wonderful promise predicated upon our remembering God with our substance and with our lives, with our time, with our thoughts, with our heart, as I recently talked to you about coming before the Lord with the whole heart. And then he rebukes the devourer for our sake. I want you to look in Jude verse 9. When even the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, judiciously argued, disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not presume to bring an abusive condemnation against him, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, if you look in Zechariah 3:1, it says, then the guiding angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at Joshua's right hand to be his adversary and to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord, who now and habitually chooses Jerusalem, rebuke you. So we can see through this that we can't in our own strength of our own thinking, in our own intellect, in our own good idea, in our own planning, in our own conniving, in our own strategizing, get rid of the devourer in our lives. But the angel of the Lord, which is now we speak of as Jesus Christ, stands in our lives and says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, even the Lord himself rebuke you. So that when you say that, and you know, oddly enough, I have heard preachers preach against saying the Lord rebuke you. You know, I'm not sure what their point is. But yet there is power in it. You only know if you try this. Daily, I try to remember to say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And thank you, Lord, that you have. And you know that when I pray with you, I say, thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sake, so that only your word is manifest in and through us. Don't you need that in your life? Aren't you tired of losing things? Relationships? Those you love? Your substance, your purpose, enough is enough. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank you that all good gifts come from you. And Lord, you give freely through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who we have received. Father, I thank you that you have rebuked the devourer for our sake. Lord, forgive us for opening doors to the devourer in our life. And forgive us for not noticing when the devourer has sneaked into our lives. And forgive us for our sin, which is a devouring influence in and of itself. And Lord, let the good seeds that have been planted come to fruit and harvest. And Lord, with interest, let these things be returned to us. Father, we release our faith toward this. And we thank you that you will pour out the blessing. And that you will hold back the devourer as we call upon your name. I thank you that your word will be manifest in and through us. It is in Jesus' name and his authority and under his blood that we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, you can take the time to go plant a lot of seeds to try to have a beautiful garden. I know people that recently did this. They were very disappointed to find out that most of their fruit was being eaten up by this or that, ants, caterpillars, bugs, you name it. And then they found out the virtue in pesticide, that what you have planted is not taken away. There's a lot of good seeds that God has put in your life, great gifts, prosperity. It's not enough just for that. Now you've got to allow the Lord through His blessing, His mercy and grace, cover, protect, and keep. There's no pesticide that can do that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm praying for you.